Welcome to the Queer Conversation podcast brought to you by Lotl Media, a show where we discuss all things queer. I am your host, Silke Bader, a publisher and producer in the LGBTQI space in Australia for the past 30 years. In today's episode, we will meet Thea. Thea's new single, Crucified by You, has landed. It is a fast and furious queer and female empowerment anthem. The celebrated singer and songwriter is not holding back. Christchurch-born Thea has been making waves since she first emerged in 2016 with her breakout hit Rome. In early 2020, she upped the ante with the release of a high-energy mixtape, 99% Angel. She revealed a mixtape with a headline slot at Sydney Mardi Gras Heapscape Party just weeks before the COVID pandemic was declared, sending her back to New Zealand for lockdown. She's now back with a vengeance. Judgment, till you're gonna pay.
I cannot believe. Kia ora tātou, ko Thea. Hi, I'm Thea, and I'm from Aotearoa, from New Zealand. My iwi, my tribe, is Ngāti Tipa, Waikato Tainui. I have just released my new single, Crucified by You. It's pretty much a anthem that is all about standing strong and taking down the systems of oppression that have particularly affected Indigenous folk and, of course, really heavily homophobic agendas as well. So I hope that people will be able to get some strength or energy from this release. And I'm very grateful for everyone's support. So
thanks, Thea. Welcome to Queer Conversation. This video that you released, Crucified by You, is really out there. On top of it, your voice is incredible. First of all, how would you describe your style?
I would say that my style, I would call it alt pop or avant pop. You know, in terms of the top line, I feel like it's extremely like the typical kind of quite hooky. But lyrically, I do like to be rather political, always have been. And in terms of the production, it's kind of a fusion between organic instrumentation and also a bit of like industrial, experimental punk, alternative vibes. It's just, you know, really cool. Kind of perfectly embodies myself, I suppose, as a person. Just, I don't know, I guess a little bit of a rager of a young Indigenous woman, and really keen to take down the systems, or at least challenge them, and put wahine or woman to the front.
I really loved it because it is a bit unusual. This particular music video, tell us a little bit how that came about. It's in a church. It seems to be religious-based. Why are you going back to that style?
Yes, well, this entire record and certainly the songs that I'm composing at the moment are really, I suppose, the first opportunity that I've ever taken to kind of touch on and delve into my upbringing, which was, I'm sure you can hear from the lyrics and see visually, but it was extremely conservative. And so I suppose through the process of being able to compose and record and in turn being able to, you know, make this visual world, I've really wanted to be able to explore that and mainly, you know, through showing, I guess, visually the impact that religion or, you know, organizations, systems of belief, if you will, the trickle-down effect and the oppression that is given very much to minority groups, or, of course, as a result of colonization to my own people, Indigenous people, Māori, and then, of course, to women, girls, gays, queers, and Yeah, just to be able to explore that. And, you know, that involves a lot of like touching on a lot of trauma and a lot of hurt, but also with being able to tackle these issues and choose to interpret these with my friends who also are all queer and brown folk as well. There's a huge empowerment that comes from this because we're able to tell our stories in our own way. And I see so much beauty, of course, both aesthetically and you know, at the heart of religion, you know, the absolute ability to be able to believe in what you believe and do that earnestly is so beautiful. However, there's also so much control and damage that comes with the persecution of, you know, certain groups. So it's been it's a real privilege to be able to, in the country which I live, where there aren't really any major repercussions from me being able to speak my truth and you know, deal with this disenfranchisement and oppression through art. It's a real privilege to be able to release this and to be able to create these visuals with such a amazing crew of all of my friends. So yes, in short, you will definitely see, just like lyrically, there's a lot of references to religion, and this is definitely reflected visually as well. I love to be able to film in churches, and especially for this release, and you know, even down to the clothing. Yeah, it's been really cool. The symbolism is both visual and sonic.
This video is so well done, and your production crew and the director who is behind this video, they've done an amazing job. I would be interested to hear from you what was behind this video, like just a couple of things. Like, you're talking about symbolism. Is there something that stands out for you that you could share with us?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I wanted to be able to present the dichotomy, I suppose, of course, existing within a religion or a conservative area of belief as a lesbian, brown, indigenous, female-identifying person. There's such like a dichotomy there because I guess, yeah, I wanted to be able to explore that visually. So two of the points that you'll see is that there's like the giving of communion where I'm on my knees and I've got my mouth wide open. So obviously that's like extremely kind of sexual because there's the priest who he's the only character in the entire video who we never see the face of. He's also consequently the only man. So I think that's quite powerful. I wanted to never show, you know, a male gaze at all. However, there's still the sexualization and objectification, which happens where you see the thumb pressed into the mouth. So I kind of wanted to show that it's a moment that's very holy. However, it's also extremely sexual. There's another moment which, if anyone watches it, not suitable for work, but there's a scene where there's like on a bed, it's me and my girlfriend, it's face sitting. And so the fact that there's like this sexual act that's happening at the same time, clutching rosary beads, almost like the understanding that though this is something that's, you know, it's really good, it feels good, it's like being your truest self with your sexual identity, also the demonization of sexuality and of woman, that means that you're kind of like, it's this constant like internal dilemma where you're almost feeling like what you're doing, which is actually living your truth, is also at the same time really flawed and inherently like demonic. So kind of the juxtaposition of those two things is really interesting. So you see that all the way through in the video. And also I wanted to include other forms of art which are like bondage, which are, you know, absolutely beautiful but also kind of viewed as like kinky, and to further I guess show like within this institution how the oppression, I suppose, that is put on a woman. And so I'm shown bound by shibari with my wrists, so you're kind of like tethered but at the same time, there's rosaries everywhere. So you're almost repenting at the same time. So it's just this constant kind of dichotomy that it was really amazing to, you know, show visually, as you hear also in the song lyrically.
You would be so amazing to watch on a live performance with your personality and with your way that you're expressing yourself, not only through your music, but also visually.
I was privileged to open for Peaches, our mother of all mothers. And so that was such an experience, being able to open and share these songs, which had never been, you know, performed before, especially Crucified by You, to such an amazing group of people who obviously they're there for Peaches. So they're there for, you know, females who push boundaries and who explore sexuality. And it's just beautiful. It was such a privilege to do that. And at the end, get to pop on stage with our mother Peaches for Fuck the Pain Away. I did a haka, which is like a traditional way of songwriting, but also performing that we do in my Māori culture. And it's really cool. It kind of involves a lot of like very passionate chanting and combined with hand actions and a lot of really passionate, you know, flaring of the eyes and whatnot. And so it was just really special to feel so accepted, seen, and supported by such an icon of our, you know, queer scene, and especially in the 90s, back when, you know, a little, you know, more than today, where, you know, us as women have really been like.
I did see that, and I was really fascinated by this project that you started, I don't know, a couple of years ago, songwriting in your language, Māori. Tell us a little bit about this project. When did you start it? Where is it heading?
Oh, thank you so much, Ihua. Thank you. Thank you very much, friend. So the project that I started in 2020 is called Te Kāhu. The Kāhu is the hawk in our language, and it's spelt with the double A, which is a dialectual thing from my people in Waikato. The name of the project, the full name, is Te Kāhu o Rangi, and that means both hawk of the heavens and Rangi's hawk. Rangi, of course, is my grandmother. So this project is composed entirely in my reo, in my language, but also in Te Mito Waikato, which is my tribal dialect. Which is spoken, of course, only within my tribe, which is in the boundaries of the Waikato region in the North Island of Aotearoa, New Zealand. The purpose of the project was I wanted to have like a home, I suppose, for all of the compositions that I would write in my language that are centered around being able to convey the stories and the history of, you know, some of the ancestral points of my people and of my tribe and my hapu, my sub-tribe, and also to be able to honour my ancestors, especially my tūpuna wahine, or my female ancestors, and most importantly, my grandmother and my great-grandmother, who was also a renowned composer of my people. Mite te aho karaka kukudai is her name. So it was just really special. I kind of went into it thinking that the main purpose was to be able to provide rauemi or resources for my whānau, who is, you know, many are still reconnecting as urban Māori, you know, displaced from our haukainga or ancestral lands from colonization, and further ashore as well, you know, many in Australia. Yeah, so really to just be able to provide a resource and something that would bring a lot of comfort, but also be a way where our stories can reside online for eternity. And it ended up, you know, being so embraced by people, both Māori and Pākehā, non-Māori, and all around the world. It's just amazing. My language is just so beautiful, and there's no better way to be able to tell our stories. It's physically almost like impossible, because you can provide the sentiment in English, but the metaphorical nature of our language that's, you know, rooted in kiwaha or sayings and whakatauki, or like tribal kind of... what's the word for whakatauki? Sayings? sayings. Yeah. It's just there's nothing more powerful. And so, yeah, it's been really special. The challenge was the YC, you know, it's kind of like Te Kahu is like very, you can see it. It's like it's very much all in Reo Māori. It's not a word of English. It's all about, you know, the stories of my people. Whereas, and it's still political in itself, but from a more gentle kind of spot, whereas my work as Thea is predominantly in English and very much, still very much political and kind of anti-establishment, if you will. But they both have very different aesthetics and very different purposes. However, at the core of it is just, you know, me. They're kind of both perfectly both sides of me. The challenge was to get people to understand that and not think that I was abandoning Thea, because little did they know at the exact same time I'm also working on, you know, my debut album. So I feel like they both are just siblings, for want of a better word.
No, fantastic. Talking about being able to see you in concert, you are releasing your EP in this year, 2023. Are you going to tour?
There's some amazing shows that I've been offered and have in turn accepted that will be happening over in Canada, which is remarkable to be announced, but they're amazing festivals that I've always wanted to be able to perform at. And so, yeah, I'm just looking forward to being able to take my music and my performance, which I truly do give everything to whoever is willing and keen to have some political, queer, indigenous female music. It's really awesome. It's amazing to be able to not only make these songs and go through the whole process of obviously composition and then, you know, producing them for them to be able to live online. And then also the visual, you know, side of things, being able to reinterpret them into like a music video kind of format. But then being able to take those and bring them into a live situation is just so awesome. Like the energy is like nothing else. And it's been really cool playing with a live band as well, you know, being able to like keep everything extremely like track based so you can hear all of the prod that's there, but also to be able to bring in, you know, live bass, live electric guitar. Like it's just wild. It's really cool.
You are a solo performer, is that right? But you do have a band when you're on tour?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So at the moment, I have my amazing DJ, Kylie Monogamy. They have been with me for about 2 years, and we've done many a club show and festival together. And then now, because of the fact that I feel like this new record and these new songs have ended up using so many more organic instruments, like such as like live bass and live electric guitar and a whole heap of distortion. I just really wanted to be able to bring that into the live situation as well. So I've got an amazing bassist, a female bassist called Holly, fellow Lizza, really amazing. And then my friend and dear friend and brother, Joel Mulholland, who has co-produced this album, is a real whiz at electric guitar, and so he's joining me as well. So it's kind of just cool, depending on whatever the festival slot is and, you know, the venue and things like that, you can kind of alter, so I can bring like just myself and my DJ, or if there's like a bigger kind of situation and more room, I'm able to bring live musicians as well. So that's what's awesome.
And about your name, Thea. I know it's one of the 12 Titans, because I love Greek mythology. Is that based on the Greek Titan?
Yes, yeah. Well, she is, of course, as you've said, she's the goddess of the sun, the light and the dark and bright shining. And so I really resonated with that concept, because I feel like there's a huge duality within my own artistry, which really does kind of push and pull between light and dark and good and bad, or, you know, purity and evil, and things like that. And so kind of felt like it was just the perfect embodiment, of what I do. And, you know, you kind of like I suppose when you release music, you obviously have to come up with a name and a persona if that's kind of the thing that you're after. And, I've always loved her, you know, Thea. However, now more than ever, I just feel like, yeah, it's almost inseparable from me as a person as well. So amazing. I feel like I've grown into her very much, and now I answer to both, truly. It's really, really cool. There's this goddess who has a slightly different purpose, but is very much an important deity to us in Te Ao Māori, and her name's Hine Nui Te Pō, and she kind of has a similar wairua spirit to Thea. However, her purpose is, her name means Great Woman of the Night. She resides in the underworld, tempting and pulling men to their deaths.
Really lovely chatting with you, and, you know, I hope people will check out your music. What's your social media handle?
Social media handle on everywhere it's Thea, Theia, but on Instagram you can find me at TheaOfficialXO. And if you're interested in learning about my Kaupapa Waiata Reo Māori, my Māori language song project, you can find that under Tekahu, which is TEKAAHU. Available on all streaming platforms and on YouTube if you're into visuals and you want to check out the videos.
Well, thank you for your time.
And thank you for your support.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or Facebook using the tag @LotlMedia. Or head over to our website, lotl.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time. Destroy ya.